dogs, kids, puppets, animals, animation.
Christopher Updike is an executive at NBC Universal. Peacock, their streaming channel, has original content in scripted and unscripted kid and family fare. I know you'll enjoy all the shows that he oversees, some that he's developed from scratch. And I know you'll love this interview. We laughed so much. And in fact, at the end of the interview, Christopher turned the tables and said he wanted to interview me because we just didn't want to stop talking. Enjoy.
Welcome to Passion to Power with your host, Michelle Zeitlin. She's a creative producer who quote-unquote wears many hats. She's also a talent and literary manager and founded the company Morzap Productions and Management. She develops people and projects across all media. Her guests encompass the gamut, from artists to authors, actors to activists. Please welcome Michelle Zeitlin, Passion to Power.
I have the distinct pleasure and honor of introducing Christopher Updike. You can find out a lot about Christopher on LinkedIn, but you're not going to find out all the nitty-gritty, all the fun stuff.
Christopher Updike. I'm Christopher Updike.
Oh, you know, you could pass commercial audition slates 101.
Sign me up.
I'm going to sign you right up because we've done this with our casting workshops. How do you slate? Well, that's how you slate. People are really interested. How does somebody who comes from an improv background, who studied theater, end up in development, end up in programming for NBC Universal? So why don't we start with what your current title is right now, what your focus is on the day-to-day, and then if you could backtrack and share a little of your yellow brick road.
Absolutely. Thank you, Michelle. My current title is I am VP of Development and Currents for Kids Programming at Peacock. So Peacock is a streaming platform for NBC Universal. Currently, I take pitches. I develop projects for preschool and 6 to 12, both in animated, live action, and unscripted, with a focus on preschool animation right now. And all of that is something that has taken a lifetime to get to this point. And it's a very twisty, windy road that I'm very proud of as I approach 50. But something that during that road, so for that earlier pod that you were talking about, is a little bit hard to navigate. And I hope that some of what I have to say will help with that a little bit, because I went through it and it's fun, it's scary, it's a page turner. And that's how I got through it, was thinking about it like a book.
And since you're in entertainment, for those that start at 1 or 2 years old, let's use the term you puddle jumped, because it seems to me you really had like lily pads of opportunity. Can we go back to your focus as an improv actor and when you thought you were going to be an actor for film and television? And I think you were for a while.
Yeah, you know, it really goes back to when I was super young. I mean, in grade school, I was acting and I did a play. And then when I was 16, I was in an improv group that I did for 10 years. I'm a little bit of a late bloomer. So I started in acting and I went to Seattle and I studied acting in Seattle for a while. And then I came back to Pennsylvania, which is my hometown. Even before that, I'll say, I have to say one thing, because I believe it all like relates to everything, is that I was a creative person at home with my brother. We were homeschooled, which is an unusual thing. And my mother at the time really felt strongly about pushing arts and creativity. And so for part of my childhood, I was homeschooled. I went to Waldorf school as well, which is a very creative oriented type of schooling system. So I always had that part of me. that manifested mostly in performance in younger years. And then as I got older, I started to realize there was other things that I love to do. I love to write, I love to direct, and I got to do some of those things. So really what happens is I went to Seattle. I sort of experimented there with taking some classes in acting and theater and realized I wanted something more formal in training. So I came back to Pennsylvania, did a year of, and I think this is also important because everyone thinks like there's only one way. I did a year of community college. I very much believe in community college, especially these days when things are very expensive. It's a great way to take a year or two and get those things that you need to get in a really important pass, and then you can go to the next level. I really found that to be an amazing experience. So I went a year there, and then I started to apply to colleges. I got in many different places, NYU Film School, I got into Albright College, I got into several other local colleges to Pennsylvania where I lived. And I really chose Albright College because I was able to create with my professors at the time a sort of non-traditional degree. If you look at it on paper, I came out with sort of a BA in English with a distinction in theater. If you dig deeper, I had enough credits to have a triple major in theater, film, and art. These were all my passions. And so I was really like putting myself forward in those ways. Theater was the top. And so as I went through my undergrad experience, I was able to study abroad for my junior year. The first half to, I would say not the abroad for the whole junior year, for the first half of my junior year, I studied at the Eugene O'Neill Theater Center and the National Theater Institute, which I again believe is an amazing opportunity for actors who also want to look at a conservatory type of training. Like we did writing and producing and directing and, you know, set design and dancing and all that sort of stuff. And then from there, it led me to study at the Moscow Art Theater, where I did another conservatory program. I learned ballet, I learned stage mechanics, I learned design, I learned Russian, though I can't speak, don't ask me, anymore. Because when you don't practice Russian, it's hard. It's a very difficult language.
It's a difficult language, even if you do practice it.
Right, exactly.
I actually shot a movie in St. Petersburg, just as it switched back to St. Petersburg from Leningrad, opposite the very famous Freddy Krueger, Robert Englund.
Oh, wow.
And I played a Russian ballerina, Svetlana Gordenka. So I had someone to teach me this accent and to work with me on all of the words. So it's very difficult.
You do it amazingly well.
Thank
I
you.
Could not. I sort of start to, when I start to do the accent, I go into German for some reason. I realized, you know, like once I was done with undergrad, I was like, where am I going to go? And I applied to many different schools. I got into several different places, but really identified with the program at Rutgers, Mason Gross School of the Arts. It was an amazing conservatory type feel. We took acting, diction, movement, dance. There was so many things about that program, and everyone that I met during that time are still friends for the most part. I really enjoy just delving in with them to all of that. And it was a Meisner-based program, so Stanislavski via Meisner. And I learned a lot. And we used to talk a lot about our toolbox. And I came in with a toolbox. And during that time, I shined up my tools to go out into the world. I always say, don't burn any bridges with anyone. It just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. So for me, I remember a professor back at Albright, and I remembered like, oh wait, his wife lives in New York and she did something in the arts. At the time I was like, wasn't it in the arts? I found out she was a designer for a company that created product for big box stores or specialty brands. So it was sort of the cousin to fashion. So it was textile design. And I got in contact with her, and she hired me freelance for a year, actually. And I was doing that, and I was able to learn about this whole other field, about designing pillows, throws, napkins, tablecloths, placemats, shower products, everything like that. So it was really like that kind of like learning. And that, I always talk about how that, again, seemed so different from what my path was. And I'll explain in 1 second that the path veered again, and I got back on track. But I remember thinking, like, why am I doing, like, what am I doing? But it afforded me this, like, lifestyle to go out and go audition. I started with friends, started a theater company that I was a part of called Teatro Lila. And we started performing. It was a movement-based theater. We did devised things that we created, as well as, I think 1 year we did Faust, we did many different things that were created from nothing. And it was all movement-based for the most part. And, you know, it allowed me to do that. And then what happened, as sometimes happens, if you go too long, just like steady, you start to learn more and learn more. And then the design job goes, we want to hire you full time. And I was like, should I do this? You know, I had an amazing boss, this boss who was the wife of a professor. And she would tell me, she goes, I want to hire you full time. I think you should take the job. And I think you're an actor who needs to work as an actor. And I'd be like, well, so how am I going to do this? I'm going to be 9 to 5 here. And she goes, and then from 5 to 11 or 12, you're going to be an actor working on everything. You're going to write, you're going to direct, you're going to be in things. And I was like, okay. So I took the leap. I did that. And, you know, flash forward 3 or 4 years of doing this and living in New York and auditioning, going to calls, still having that happen. I was also kind of really going up high in the design world. And I remember specifically, this is the pivot moment, I was coming back from pitching a line of product to Walmart Canada. They flew us to Canada with the salespeople, and the creatives went, and then we were coming back. And I was pitching a line of pillows and throws that I had helped to design. And so we sold one. And that's a big deal for people who don't know anything about this business. Like, you sell a pillow and it goes into all the Walmart stores. It's like a lot of money. It's huge. And I remember thinking, like, why doesn't this feel satisfactory?
So you were telling me, Christopher, that you had sold one of your designs to one of the big box stores, Walmart. And this should have been a huge celebration in this design life, but you had another calling. You weren't feeling satisfied. You weren't going, well, why am I feeling like I should be, you know, bursting balloons and throwing confetti and right. What's next for me? Okay, let's pick it up from there.
And so I was flying back from that meeting, and I was like on a plane, and I was sitting there thinking all those things that you just said. And I was going, you know, there are people that graduated from FIT or Parsons or somewhere that would die for this job. These are jobs that go up to head designer and over multiple brands and so forth. And I kept thinking, like, I'm just not feeling it. And so I made the decision on that plane. I was like, I've got to switch. I've got to get out. I've got to pivot out of this now, because it's taken over in a way that I don't want it to. Now, I'll just tell you the outcome. Within 2 weeks, I was on a plane to LA for a job as an associate producer.
So you're here, you have this epiphany on the plane. What happens next?
And I go to my boss and I tell her, I need to give 2 weeks notice. I can't, like, I need to be doing this. That next day after that, she understood, actually, because she was actually what I truly call a mentor. She was one of those people in your life that was a mentor. I've had the very fortunate luck to have many mentors, and all of them women. And I feel very grateful for that. But she was a mentor and she said, I understand. That next day, a company that my brother and I had written a screenplay for 2 years before, called me and said, we're looking for an associate producer. We're producing a special for Walmart, which was ironic, by the way. Walmart was producing it, but this company was creating it for them, and it will air on ABC. And it was a Christmas special. And it was in animation for kids. And do you want to come out to LA? And I did. And in 2 weeks, I had subletted my apartment. And I flew out to LA. I found a temporary place. The project was going to last 6 months and then I would be done and maybe coming back, wasn't sure. That project led to more work. And eventually she hired me full time as part of the company. And eventually that small project turned into other development projects, and I was able to then really sort of do a 360 at a production company. What is it like to run payroll, but also be a part of the creative, also help to develop projects, you know, also help to sell those projects to networks? And I remember I've had some amazing things when you look back, because I remember going to Sony Comedy. I'm pitching a show that I had come up with another producer at the company I was working for. And he wasn't the pitching type. So I was in the room like doing the pitching, and they picked it up in the room. And we walked out and she said, that never happened. Like, and I always want to tell people, like, that doesn't really happen. Like, it doesn't. Like, that was unusual. Now, it was a short series. It was 26 episodes that were like 2.5 minutes long. So it wasn't huge or any like big commitment, but we made 2 seasons of that. And that got on Sony Crackle, which was a comedy a streaming platform, early days of when.
Yes. Oh my God, Crackle so changed.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and that was like amazing, and I met a lot of people out in LA. We created many different projects. We developed things that eventually went on to be award-winning shows for preschoolers and so forth. And it was about the end of 2009, the economy had a little bit of a downturn. If you remember, 2007 was really the recession, I believe, and there was like really hard couple years there. And everyone was looking for work at that point. And I kind of went out, she had to let the majority of the company go. So it became just her again, the person who had hired me. And I went out, I was looking for work. I did every sort of job that you can imagine. I was a freelance casting person. I held the boom mic for small independent film. I produced a short film that ended up winning a lot of awards with a friend. So I took like 9 months to really figure out like what's going on. But in LA at that time, it was just like everyone I was knocking on their door saying, we just lost our job. Like, it's a really hard time, blah, 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 blah. So I kind of tucked my tail under, went back and moved back to Pennsylvania. And in fact, I went back and moved in with my parents at the time. So it was very interesting. I thought it was sort of the end of my career, if you will. However, again, don't ever, burn bridges, because what really happened then is for the next 6 months, I taught at my alma mater. I taught many different acting classes. I directed a play. I did a couple things. And then out of the blue, a producer reached out to me and said, have you heard of this cable channel called Sprout? It is a preschool channel. It's really new, like less than 5 years old. They're looking for a producer. They're doing their first original series. And do you want to like go up for it? I'll introduce you to the people. I went into that audition. It was in Philadelphia. Took the train from Lancaster, where I'm originally from. I had an amazing interview with the people at Sprout and walked out with a job. And I was going
never to- Never happens, it. Does it?
Not that way.
No. I mean, these days, if you're auditioning for auditioning, if you're interviewing, right? Well, Disney will call you a cast member, but Amazon, what do you have to 6 to 12 meetings before you get a green light? So-
And any job these days takes like, I've had friends have like 9 interviews before they get a job and you're like, what? So that was really lucky. But I have to say, like, let's just back up. There was lots of like all of this emotion going on. Like, I'm not going to ever get back into this industry. Like, what's going to happen? Am I going to teach now? Maybe I'm going to teach for the rest of my life, which I really value teachers. And I did not look at that as a bad thing, but I was sort of trying to pivot. Do I want the politics of academia, which I wasn't sure that I wanted. I prefer the politics of corporate America. So there was a lot going into that thing, but I walked out with a job and I knew it was again a temporary job. It was like 6 to 8 months. It was shooting a series in Michigan because there's tax credits there at the time. It was a live action animated, kids were involved, and puppets, all the things you're never supposed to do in one show. And a live dog. And it was really an amazing thing. I produced that series with some other people, but I was like the on the ground producer. I ended up hiring the company I had just come from in Los Angeles as a way to like get on board to do some animation. And we created the series, and where I was supposed to walk off was once it was finished. But the post-production supervisor at the time was like struggling with like, well, how do you cut this down? It has to be 11 minutes, which is a standard format for kids' content. I can get it down to 16. And I was like, I said to the EVP at the time, I was like, give me a chance. Let me go 8 hours in the edit room with the editor and I'll come out with a show. Wow. And we did. And we came out with a show. I post supervised the whole thing. And then very shortly after that, they hired a VP of development, and she hired me to be in development at Sprout. And so that kind of starts my journey with NBC, where I worked at Sprout for many years. So Sprout, I believe I joined Sprout in about 2010 or 11. We created original content. We did co-productions. We did originals. We did licenses with other existing properties. My focus was development and producing, so I was able to do those two things. I am in 30 Rock, and that began in 2014, began my time in New York again. So I had gone from New York to LA to Pennsylvania.
I keep hearing theme music as you're talking. You know, I heard Alanis Morissette, isn't it ironic? Right. Now I'm hearing New York, you know.
I go in a circle. New York, LA, PA, New York, LA, right. PA. So, and then to your point, having been on that side pitching and then listening. So it's really about like this whole full circle thing. But, you know, why I got into acting in the first place and why I feel my career is where that is at now is because I really believe this is all about collaboration. I believed acting was. I still love the idea and thought, but I loved when I was doing it, the idea of collaborating with a director and a costume designer and a lighting designer and a set designer and other actors and figuring out how we make this the best thing we can. We're all in this journey together. When you're making a film, when I produce several films, adult things too, is not just for kids, but like you know, thinking about how all of those layers build and build and build and make it better. And then is my job now, as we create animated series that are going out into the world, how does the writing starts at one level, and then we layer on the animation, and then we layer on the voice directing, and we layer on all these things to make it better and better and better. It's a collaborative process. And I'm sort of, you know, the producer is the ringleader trying to get all the parts to keep going and flowing smoothly and giving some direction. And the idea really is to nudge in a direction. We have a unique opportunity. We don't have to be so ego-driven and cynical. We can kind of stick together and help each other out. We can think about things, help each other find jobs. It's been my goal, anytime someone reaches out to me that has been in the industry or has left a job, I'm always willing to talk. It's a changing, quick-paced industry, and I think streaming has thrown everyone for a loop, and we're all trying to figure that out. And I want to then interview you, because you're, every time I listen to one of your interviews and you give a little bit of your history, I'm like, I want to know more.
So thanks very much for listening to this episode, and please share all the episodes with your friends and colleagues. We appreciate your ratings and comments on Apple Podcasts and on social media. If you'd like more information about our programs and our special people and projects, please access www.morezap.com, More Zap Productions for Talent and Literary. And if you'd like to book a special one-on-one coaching or a group clinic or workshop, please access passion-power.com, and you can fill out our form there and make a request. Thanks again.